What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia, points north, south, east, and west. Bumich and I holding it down out in Ashburn, VA. After basically a week in Florida, home for a day, we're back in the tent at Commanders training camp, expecting to hear from Dan Quinn today, 2 o'clock. Brian, what on earth do you think DQ wants to talk about?
The starting punter.
Nah, I think we know the starting punter.
They're going to talk a little bit about a little bit of everything, but I think the ultimate goal is possibly to let's move forward and tell you who the quarterback is so people can stop losing their damn minds.
Well, I think there's a number of things. I think, you know, if you're looking at Jaden Daniels now, that's the number 2 overall quarterback, the number 2 overall pick, second quarterback drafted, Heisman Trophy winner, in 2 preseason games, 3 drives, he's 12 of 15 for 123 yards.
Yeah.
Typically, a quarterback would have, what do you figure, be 8-9 drives in a regular game, something like that?
Something like that.
You don't want to project too much off of preseason numbers, but damn, those would look really good.
They would look fantastic.
Throughout this, I have never been concerned that he was going to be the starter. He was always going to be the starter. I've never really cared when they said it because, to me, it's just apparent. I do expect them to say it today. 48 asked Saturday night when we were in Miami doing the presser. 48 asked if Jaden's going to play next week, preseason finale against the Patriots. And Dan's response, I tweeted this out this morning if you want to read the full thing. But basically he said, we're going to talk about it Monday. Specifically he said, we've got a lot of players, 90 of them. So I'm not going to say one will play and 89 won't or something like that. But it will be an awesome topic for Monday. An awesome topic for Monday certainly leads me to believe that today there will be some sort of announcement. And then with that announcement, you could say, all right, he's not playing Saturday. He's not playing Sunday night. He's our starter. We're moving forward.
And if anybody is still sitting up here worrying about that or about a competition or whatever, then you must not live on this earth in this area. Because the competition was over in the first preseason game, and then the guy competing didn't even play or dress out because he was injured. So, you know, if people are still thinking about that because he hadn't said something, you got to be some of the weakest-minded people in the world.
The competition was over when they drafted him.
Yeah,
second
I agree with that. At least I'm trying to give him a little bit of leeway to say, at least, well, they said it, and they went out and tried, but when they drafted him second, you know he was starting, point blank.
Agreed. Now, we do have a slight controversy this morning. Well, first off, we started the celebration Friday. Today was going to be a celebration until we ended up in Ashburn. So maybe tomorrow we can all celebrate together. Happy birthday, Brian.
Appreciate it.
45 years old.
Yes, yes.
Incredible shape.
Oh,
I know you had a hell of a day yesterday. Some golf, some family time. How was it?
It was great. I got back, and I was a little tired because I slept about 2 hours and something the night before. Got back, played golf, had fun, then went home. I had my usual, what I love, catfish, fried catfish and shrimp and some potato salad, Maya's famous potato salad.
Spicy.
And then once I finished that, I started watching TV. And when I woke up, it was 11 something. And I just went to the bed and continued sleeping. Those 2 hours the night before did not work well with your brother.
I hear you. All right. I am glad you got some sleep. I went to bed early last night, too. I mean, Saturday, preseason games are just – there's nothing like realizing, like, oh, my God, why am I up at 1 in the morning to work a preseason game?
Oh, boy.
And then we were both on an early flight back, but now we're back. No travel for a few weeks, which is kind of nice. Commanders are home this weekend. Then you get roster cuts next week, and then we get to Labor Day, and it's regular season, dude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we get that Monday off for Labor Day, and then boom, Wednesday is Bucks week, and I think that's pretty exciting. Now, I do think we should, I think we should address the elephant in the room here, which is Jeff Walker. Apparently, this morning quit the show. Jeff,
he sent a thing without a link.
Right. So first, Jeff just quit the show. It happened at 9:39 a.m. Jeff just left the group text thread. And let's be real. We don't have a whole lot binding the four of us together outside of that group text thread. Yeah. That's all we got. We all we got, fellas. And Jeff quit. And now you want to be back. Is that accurate?
Yo, I don't know what went on with my phone.
Did he try to FaceTime
in my pocket?
Everybody
over? Yeah, I was about to say, I seen that I FaceTimed the group, and then when I tried to, like, in the FaceTime call, it says, you left the text thread. I'm like, what is going on? And then the stream is tripping.
Well, you sent the email without a link.
Yeah, you sent the email without a link, Jeff.
But it's there.
No.
It was in the subject line.
It's in the subject line, but it's not in the actual email where you can click on it.
Yeah, I just realized that. It's there now.
Yeah, but I'll be honest. The internet is kind of bojangling out here, so I don't know.
Bojangling?
We're going to try. We're working on all things.
But
working on all of
things. I did not leave the chat. I did not leave the show. I didn't quit. Well, I left the chat, but it was on accident. Like, I need to make sure my phone is locked before I get caught up.
Well, I tell you what, can I check in with the professor? Hello, Landini. How do you do?
Hello.
I mean, scrolling back through the chat here, Brian, it actually appears Landfill fired Jeff. Because at 9:39 a.m., my phone tells me Landfill removed 1240, the rest of Jeff's phone number, from the conversation. So did Jeff quit, or did Landfill try to fire you?
Landfill, did you try to fire the
dude? Was this a power struggle in the aquarium?
I have no idea what happened there.
It's amazing that both of them knows nothing.
I don't know who to believe. I don't know who to believe. All right, boys, let's do a quick – I have made – so the plan today was to have a Popeye's feast in the office. We're obviously not in the office, so we're all kind of discombobulated. I have made auxiliary plans to get Brian and I some Popeye's here in the tent. Would you rather wait and all celebrate tomorrow in studio, Brian? It's up to you.
It don't make me a difference. We can do it today, and we could send them some.
Well, I don't know that we're going to be able to send both to Ashburn and downtown D.C.
We can.
Because here, I got somebody coming.
I know. But
there's no Uber Eats to a field.
Oh, don't worry. Landfill, is there a way to get Popeyes to the studio today?
All right, let me clarify. I'm not getting Popeyes to two places. So we could do it today where it's just me and you, or we could do it tomorrow for everybody.
Hey, I'll take care of them.
Okay, tomorrow it is.
No, I'll take care of them. You take care of us today.
What sense does that possibly make?
We all celebrating the same time.
Yeah, but we're not all together.
You don't have to be together.
Jeff quit, and Landfill fired him.
But that's no problem. We're bribing them back.
All right, we'll discuss that in a break. Pause. You guys pause. Jeff can't even send a stream email. How hard is that? Lot to discuss this morning. Obviously a big game for the Commanders over the weekend. I think they performed pretty well. Honestly, coming out of that game, the biggest story was Jaden not sliding on the 13-yard run. I think for the second straight week, Dan Quinn gave a pretty funny retort to something his quarterback did that he'd probably rather not see in preseason.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Sure.
Okay? And Jaden's comments after the game, I wholeheartedly agree with. You have to let me be me. But when was he going to slide? He got tackled from behind.
I think he could just take it right out of bounds.
Yeah, but
I agree. There wasn't a spot to slide.
He cut inside, and the guy tripped him up. I mean, I can see if he had tried to lower his shoulder and run over somebody. He didn't do that. Somebody came from behind and tripped his legs up. So what do we – this guy is a runner. Just like his backup, other backup, Jeff Driscoll, can run his tail off too. If they have that, let him use it. Now, if there's a time when you're going to take a direct hit, yeah, I understand, slide then. But at that point, he was cutting inside to get a little bit more room, and I think he'll go down. But ultimately, he was tripped up. We got to let that go. You don't want him thinking too much when he starts to run, because if he's thinking too much, he's not going to do what he would instinctively do, and that can cause a problem right there.
Shout out to Powers On. Mr. Radke, wherever you are, we appreciate you. I
still don't have that link.
I tend to completely agree with you. And I've said this throughout. And Tischler and I have had like a long kind of back and forth on what we thought of him as a runner. And, dude, I mean, you and I went through it. If you go look at, I want to say, all the SEC games from last year, he had double-digit carries in all of them. Mm-hmm. I think the thought that he won't be a runner is completely misconstrued. And to what Jaden said, he's right. It's a gift. Use it.
I understand the concern that people have, but to be honest with you, Robert's injury was a freak accident. The way he got hit and the way his leg whipped around Haloti-Ngata, that's why he got hurt. He wasn't ordinarily trying to run over Haloti-Ngata.
More guys get hurt in the pocket.
Yeah, but he got hurt in a freak accident type way. But everybody got – you got to get over that, man. Let the man play. Because like you stated, sitting in the pocket could be more dangerous than getting the hell out of it.
I think a number of things can be true. I think on that run, he easily could have gotten out of bounds. And I think that should be his mindset for the long term. But in the moment, it's hard to keep that mindset, right? I think they're upset, though, because it's a preseason game.
But don't upset.
And I think upset is too much of a word.
My question is, the tackle that he took, was it very vicious, or did he just get tripped up?
It was more than tripped up, but it was hardly vicious.
The guy came from behind him, grabbed his leg. That's a trip up.
It was 5.5 out of 10
tackle. Tackle football.
Right.
What the hell? He going to get taken to the ground. But right. If he lowers his shoulder on somebody like, let's say, Ray Lewis or Warner, yes, I understand. But that he's going to get hit like every time he get hit in the pocket, it's going to be worse than what he got hit right there. Every time he get hit in the pocket. So we got to get over that, man. Some things in football just happen.
I agree. My only thing I would say, get out of bounds. You can. It's right there. I think.
Bro, I don't want him to get out of bounds every time. Because you know what? One day he's going to go out of bounds when he could have went the distance. And then we're going to lose by 7 points. And then guess what? The same people telling him to get out of bounds are going to be like, man, if he had just ran that touchdown, let that man be the damn player he is. Yes, protect yourself. Like when Driscoll was running, he got to the end, he went down when the guys had to dive over him. That was great.
Driscoll's in a very different situation. No,
but still, I'm just saying, let's not have him thinking about what we would do or what we want him to do. Let him do what he does.
The staff clearly feels different.
Yeah, the staff are saying things to try to get a message across. But ultimately, he going to use his leg one day when they going to be thinking he should do something. He going to go to the house and that's going to win the game for him. I would even say the staff need to relax. You can't tell an instinctive runner how to damn run.
I agree with you. And I think if that play happens week one in Tampa, my only critique is that it's preseason, dude. You don't need to take the hits of preseason. But he's learned, dude, that's his first ever tackle in the NFL.
This is my critique. Today is August 19th. It was August 17th. After he got out of the game, he was still running around, jumping around, and was healthy.
Sure.
He didn't get harmed. Let it go. Let it go.
By far, my favorite play of that game, and you and I haven't really gotten to, because Saturday night I had to run and go do my hit, and then you were back. You and I haven't really talked about it. For all the talk about the one running play, and I think far too much conversation about it, one play stood out to me by a mile of what I was most impressed by Jaden. Mm-hmm. And it was an incompletion. And he only had three of them. Or he only had two of them that night. He had three all of preseason. And I asked him about it afterwards. I'm curious if you know the play I'm talking about. It was third down just before the end of the first quarter, I believe. And listen, sometimes guys are just going to be unblocked because the defense calls the right blitz. Jaden takes a snap out of the shotgun. Immediate pressure from the right side.
Two guys, I think it was.
Yeah, but there's one running free,
yeah.
Right? And Jaden immediately senses it, moves to his left a hair, and then just fires high lob deep downfield for Terry, who was his hot in that situation, mm-hmm. running down the left side. And he put that ball where maybe Terry could make a spectacular play, maybe he can't, and it just goes out of bounds.
But the defense wouldn't make no play.
And it lets them stay in field goal range. Yeah. It was such a heady play. And I asked him about it, and he said, yeah, they caught us in the blitz, and they disguised it real well, so I knew I was hot. Kind of we were in a territory where we didn't want to take any sacks. We have points on the board. Well, that's a whole different issue. But Jaden's not going to say that. We have points on the board, so throw the ball. At least try to throw it away or give Terry a shot to go make a play. And that's what it was. And then I followed up with him. I said, dude, for a rookie to have all that in your head, were they coaching you that, or are you learning that on the fly? And he said, I'm learning. That's something we talk about in the quarterback room and what DQ harps. We've got points and dirty throwaways. That's what we call it in the quarterback room. There's a time and a place for everything. Go out there and make a play. But if we're in the range where we can score points and can help swing the game momentum, stuff like that, live to see another down. That is insanely mature for a rookie quarterback making his 15th throw in the NFL.
Yeah, I listen, man.
That to me is more encouraging than everything we've
seen.
That
is super encouraging. And like I said this during training camp, that he throws balls in spots where people should be. And if they're not there, it's an incompletion. It's not an interception. Instead of waiting and trying to throw the ball real hard at him and throw it behind him like a lot of guys would do. But the fact that he learns all of that stuff, I think we need to understand that this is the problem. Everyone still judges everything that Jaden does because of what somebody prior to him did. Already he's proven to you he's not that guy, okay? So I think when we get into other situations, let's remember what you just stated and how we're looking at it, that this guy is light years ahead of what the other person was and the things he did.
Well, I think I'm not comparing him to anybody.
No.
But I think there's a ton of rookie quarterbacks.
But most people complain and compare based off of Robert getting hurt. That's why nobody wants him to run. Nobody wants anything else. But I'm saying he gets everything that he needs. What would a rookie do? Try to sit there and wait or take a sack?
What would Howell have done last year? So you get that immediate rush from your right-hand side. If I had to guess, Sam would have tried to spin out, get past the guy, probably get sacked, but yeah, try to elongate the play. There is tremendous, tremendous value in throwing it away, finding your hot, maybe giving him a chance. You know, the ball wasn't thrown well enough for Terry to have a chance. I don't care. He made the right decision, yeah, and it was a really heady decision. That's what I care about. I agree. I was texting with somebody yesterday, and I'll read you my exact reply, and you know who I was texting with. You know the person, and it's somebody we both value their opinion, right? Like, you see who it is?
Yeah.
Okay, so he texted me, how would you compare RG3 to JD? And I just said,
no comparison.
I wouldn't. I don't think there's much of a comp. I think Daniels is already a better pocket passer than Robert was.
Yeah,
By a fairly wide margin, frankly. Mm-hmm. They're completely different people. One of these dudes is Southern California, super cool, calm. One dude needed attention kind of at all times, and that's not a bad thing. I do think Robert was more electric as a runner. I think Robert had track speed. I don't know that Jaden has that. I think Jaden is more of a glider and will get you yards. But I think to that point, if people are worried that he ran the other night because of Robert 12 years ago, you got to let that go, dude.
Yeah, but that's how it is, and that's where it comes from. And even the staff, they know that a guy came here, was a top pick, that got injured on the field. But what they don't know is it wasn't him just running. It was no design play for him. And the way he got hit was the most awkward thing that could happen. And the way his leg whipped is what happened with it. It wasn't the fact that he was just running. But I think ultimately all that stuff he told you he was thinking about and what he did everything they wanted him to do. We have to let him continue to be able to decipher those things, and it'll be situations where he'd be running and then you see him go down, you'll see he's understanding all the other stuff. But I watched that play the other night, and as soon as he got tackled, I said, people are going to start tripping. And
DQ kind of barked at him, too.
Started tripping, but still, coaches in those situations say things. If he had cut inside and nobody was there and he went the distance, nobody would say a word. The guy coming behind him that grabbed his leg and tripped him up just shut him down.
Here's what I want to discuss. I don't know, but I believe Jaden will get named starting quarterback today. I don't know, but I believe Jaden will not play Sunday night in the preseason finale. The question for you, Mr. Mitchell, should he? We'll answer that when we return. B. Mitch and Finley, phones at 11.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Are you tired of those lackluster cooling systems? Well, it's time to switch the route and feel the difference. Thanks to the IRA Act, you can score up to $2,000 in tax credits on select heat pump systems. And Maryland residents, there's exclusive rebates from Rood just for you. Personally, I've upgraded to three Rood 18-series inverter heat pumps to stay cool in my house. Rood keeps me comfortable while I'm chilling at home or hosting game day parties. So beat the heat this season and visit Rood.com. That's R-U-U-D.com to see why they're the MVP of cooling. And remember, if it ain't Rood, it ain't right.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Listen, I'm going to be honest. I'm not sure I have the whole story here, so I am reporting, you know, half news here. Mm-hmm. Word is it's John Auville, Money Metal Cakes from the Junkies birthday. So if that's accurate, happy birthday to Cakes. But B. Mitch, it's 10:31 in the morning, right?
Yep.
Do I have that accurate?
Yep.
And apparently Cakes is already playing poker and just got crushed on the river and is already losing. If that's accurate, and he got off the air 31 minutes ago, presumably, I'm pretty damn impressed. To not only be at MGM playing poker already, but to already be deep enough in that he's already taken a big stack.
What I'm saying is it's not that far away, Jay.
From sitting in the let's start here. Landfill, was Cakes on the air today? Was he in studio with the Junks? Okay. Landini doesn't know. So we'll start there.
If I need to be somewhere at like 2:15, 2:30, what do I do? I leave right with the last segment or 5-10 minutes, get out. He's on vacation.
Okay. Then I'm still pretty impressed that there's enough poker happening at 10:30 in the morning to have already gotten walloped by a bad hand.
Are you a poker player? Those degenerates are in there all day.
Sure.
They don't care what time it is.
Time doesn't exist.
So
time is a flat
time.
Circle.
Like, you know that it's 10:31. They don't know what time it is or what damn day it is.
Right. I agree with that. I agree with that. All right. Shout out to Cakes. Happy birthday.
Cakes' birthday today? It's my dog.
We believe that to be the case. We have not confirmed that information. I have not verified.
The Leo's running this damn thing.
Trust but verify. We have not verified whatsoever. But we think it's accurate. Brian.
Yes.
You are a believer in playing in the preseason.
Yeah.
Gerard Mayo, head coach of the New England Patriots, sure seems like he's playing guys Sunday night. My boy Phil Perry, that covers the Pats, sent me this quote from Mayo. This was after their preseason game. When did they play? Thursday night? I don't know. Whenever they
were. Was it Friday night?
Friday night, but they were on
it. It was Thursday then.
Okay. Mayo said, he was asked specifically about his offensive line, but you'll hear the quote opens up to everything. There were definitely some ups and downs. I would say there's a dramatic drop-off, not really physically, but just knowing what to do between the first line and the second and third guys. They have to get better as a whole, as a unit. They just have to get better, and that comes from playing football games. We have another preseason game coming up. We're going to play. That's the only way you're going to get better at football is playing football.
Yeah.
Seems like we're going to see Jacoby and Drake Sunday night.
The thing of it is this. You look at the teams. This is Mayo's first time being a head coach.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, do I think that they can play a little bit in the game? Yes. Do I think they need to play the whole game? No, because it's the last preseason game. And ordinarily, even in our day, the starters didn't play the last preseason game. You know what I mean? So now you're at a point where – now the only thing I think is you get them a little work and then you take them out. You got 2 weeks to get ready.
Yeah.
I think the second game is now your third game as it used to be, where you get the most of the work from your starters and things of that nature. I think Jaden has shown enough. I think still, why not let him grow a little farther? They can approach him just like he did in the first game. One series, you're done. Because they need to see the end of the roster more to make their final decisions. They've already made the decision on the top 30 people on this team.
I think we know
maybe
who,
42.
I think we know who 45 out of 53 players.
That's what I'm saying. They know who those are. The guys that really need to get that look, they need to finish most of this game. But I think it comes down to where your team is, where your coach's mindset is. Andy Reid plays his guys a lot, okay? But Andy Reid also knows that his guys are completely going to go out there and do exactly what he wants them to do. So,
did you see Mahomes throw the behind the back pass and say he was pissed at Kelsey?
That was planned.
He said Kelsey ran the wrong route and he was pissed at him and that's why he did it.
Yeah, that was listen, bro, they work on that. You watch that play. He goes and he throws that ball. He's thrown it underhand, he's thrown it overhand, he's pitched it, he's done it like he was running an option. That's just another way. That is why Andy Reid is loved by his team. He lets players draw plays. He finds a way to install them. And if from the ring around the rosy thing to that, it makes you want to play for a guy. He knows how to have fun a little bit.
Simple game here. Yeah. Should and will. What should they do with Jaden Daniels Sunday night against the Patriots? What will they do with Jaden Daniels?
They should let him get at least a drive. And will they? I don't know. I can't say yes or no on that one. I think he should and will. That's up to them. It's what they feel. Are they pleased enough right now with him to go that way? He got two games. He made the right decision on both of them, I believe.
Sure.
They complain about him checking off a play and throwing the ball. He runs the ball and he don't run out of bounds, but he got three or four more yards, which probably will come to help you out later on in a drive or something like that.
It didn't because the kicker can't kick, but that's...
Well, that's not Jaden's fault. That's their fault. Instead of worrying about him running and standing bound, they should be getting a better kicker.
What should they do with Jaden? What will they do with Jaden Landini?
I think they should play him for, you know, at least a little bit. Ultimately, it's football. Like, the guy's got to get out there. It's one or two series. Like, they're not seriously increasing the risk that he's going to get injured. I don't think.
What will they do?
I think they'll probably not play him.
Jeffrey?
Which is kind of a bummer, too, because this is the only home game of the preseason.
Yeah. I tell you what, though, it makes week two
I'll say this.
Against the Giants.
Everybody on the selling side and the promotional side, they want him playing because you already think the fans are hyped up about him. Let him go in the game and have a good little nice series and see how hyped this thing will get.
See, I wonder if – that's an interesting question. One, I wonder how close to sold out everything is. Like Giants home opener week two –
jerseys ain't sold out.
Yeah, that's true.
They can sell those.
But Giants week two, if that's also Daniel's debut at home, I think that sells out for sure. Jeffrey, what should they do? What will they do?
Me personally, I think they should keep him off the field. I know, you know, it's football, but it's the third preseason game. People trying to, you know, make rosters. It's going to be some tryhards in there. I'd just rather not risk it. Let out prize possession, you know, stay safe into the regular season. Because really, he'll give us a good drive, but I don't think it's going to change much. So I think he should just wait to the regular season. And I'm not going to lie, my vision is skewed because I just know it just feels like being a more Washington fan. You know, every time something gets to going, you know, real well, or we get excited, something happens. And I know that's a bad way to look at it, but I'd rather just wait to the regular season.
I was with you till that last part. I think that's silly. Events in the past don't impact what happens in the future. Like, it's easy to believe in.
But that's the mindset of the sound.
You can believe
right
in,
about this.
In jinxes or mushes
or that's
curses.
That's the mindset of this area, brother.
I hear it. I just don't agree with it. That said, I don't think they should play him Sunday night. He's the clearly established starter. And I think with Drake and Jacoby, like for New England, both those guys at various times have looked better. Right? Like, I think they have a real battle because at various times they've looked good and they've looked bad. Jacoby didn't have his best outing in this last preseason game. So that battle is actually ongoing. This one isn't. Jaden's been the best quarterback in Ashburn by a fairly wide margin.
And still, he doesn't have a great chemistry with the line in front of him. The line in front of him don't have a great chemistry with him. and they can benefit off of that. This is where I'm at. I'm lost on the fact that you're comparing this situation with New England. Drake isn't Jaden. Jacoby isn't Jaden.
I'm saying that's a real competition. The competition's over.
We're not worrying about the competition. I still think Jacoby is a better quarterback right now. Drake, he gives them the best chance to win right now. But ultimately, in this situation, it's not about a competition. It's about the advancement, the continued growth of a guy who you want him when he finally hits that game to be as good as he could have possibly been. Doesn't play at all and doesn't play for 2 weeks. It may not be as good as he could possibly be when he go into the game.
I think there's legitimate debate about what should happen. I don't think they're going to play.
I think what will happen. Because I think the pass and I think the constant talk and everything they've ever heard.
No, but these guys weren't here for Robert or any of that stuff. They don't have to be here, but they hear.
They hear stuff. Just because somebody wasn't here don't mean that they don't think. They understand this area, too. Because the ultimate thing of the whole area is the people consistently supporting this thing that makes it work for everybody.
Speaking of what they've heard, Dan Quinn decided to push back about some narratives that have formed. We'll explain when we return. Phones at 11. Shout out to this dude, Raise 5 Hale, who claims that Dan Quinn said 98 players when he said 89 players. bro, I promise you the head coach knows how many people are on the roster. Dan Quinn said something that actually got my typing fingers working Sunday morning at the airport. Dan Quinn was asked about this wide receiver 2 situation. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, that's something you guys all seem to care about. We don't care about that. I just want guys that are competing, flying around, playing their best. Hard to watch so far and not realize that Deami Brown has... Outside of Terry McLaurin, Deami Brown seems to be having the best camp, the best chemistry with Jaden. All of that could change fast.
Yeah.
They spread the ball around to a lot of people. But, like, people have decided definitively that Deami Brown can't be good because he hasn't been good in 3 years. And I'm sure there's statistical support for that. My only counter to it, and not that the lack of production was on the same level, because Deami's lack of production for 3 years is really pretty remarkable, but I would also encourage people to look at the overall offensive lack of production, not just Deami, but the whole damn thing has been pretty ugly for a few years. Nico Collins balled out last year, right? 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns, averaged 16 yards per catch. Are we all aware of what Nico Collins was prior to that? For 2 years in the NFL, there was a pretty good statistical measure of who he was. First 2 years in the NFL, he averaged 35 catches and 450 yards.
Okay.
Then, what do you know? C.J. Stroud shows up, and he has 80 catches for 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns. Yeah. Like, this can change pretty quick.
It could change. And also, just listen, man, we had the conversation about contract years. We have the conversation about why guys play better. And my assessment has always been, normally a contract year is when the guy's in his fourth or his fifth year, okay? Which means they know now how to play. As London Fletcher stated the other day, we were having a conversation, not even about this. He said, guys now know what the league expects. They know how to, they know their routine, and they know exactly what to do now. A lot of guys don't get comfortable till after their second year in the league. You know, you get a few people that roll in like a Jaden Daniels who seem like they already know. They belong there already. Deami now comes in with a staff who seems to be giving him an equal and fair chance to go out there and compete. Other people, no matter what he did in preseason, he didn't get in the game in the regular season anyway. You know what I mean? So – and you get a quarterback who will give you that chance, who has a confidence in you. Confidence changes everything. And I don't know if it's what he did in all season or the whole operation that happened. Did somebody call him and talk to him? Did somebody sit him down and tell him what he can do and what they expect from him, unlike some other people might have done? You know, so he is now at that point where if he wasn't trying to play better or playing better, then he wasn't going to be able to play better. Just wasn't going to hit him yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that Diami, all of a sudden the light is on and it was off. I know that when they drafted him, they were really excited about his prospects. I know that at the top of his route tree, he would round it off and not fight through to make physical plants. Mm-hmm. Maybe all that has changed, or maybe just the quarterback's way better.
The quarterback is better.
Maybe the scheme is way better. A lot of things can happen. And who knows? To try to extrapolate from what Diami has done for a few seasons to what he could become or what we're seeing so far this preseason, statistically, is hard. You're talking about a dude that last season had 12 catches, mm-hmm. right? He's got five through two. He's got half of Jaden's catches so far this preseason. Mm-hmm. I understand the extrapolation is hard to do from the numbers. All I'm saying is to think that it's impossible to occur because of the numbers is short-sighted.
Yeah, listen, man. Once you settle down in this league, if you can play, you can play. And it takes belief from – if you're a receiver, it takes your quarterback believing in you. And also your coach believing in you, because coaches begin to draw up stuff for people that they believe in, not those they don't. As my career went on, I picked up more and more and more stuff. I picked it up not because I just asked for it. I started to produce and show them that I could do more. So they give you more opportunities, you know? So I didn't – come here with the expectation to be a third down back. I came here with the expectation to return kicks and punts. But the more you show you can do, the more you can. But every time I did one thing, and then we had our coach, Don Bro, was like giving me all his confidence, all his credit, critique. When I did something good, he'll tell me, you did that, but I need you to be more consistent with it. By him talking to me on a daily basis made me realize they must see something. So I started to study more, research stuff more, get better at it, work extra after practice to make sure I had the stuff. And then when they see you working on that, you're going to get more opportunities. Maybe Diami is doing that now.
B, people are convinced. There's this flaw in logic that people are convinced life in the NFL is so dramatically different than life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would point out, and maybe the timelines are more condensed, right? Because you just don't have the same opportunity over the course of your life. Because your pro football life is probably, if you're extremely lucky and gifted, 15 years. But for most guys, it's what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, 2-3.
But things can change. Guys can improve. Guys can adapt. Like, think of Chris Kynard is the cluster buster of the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, he was an intern. You know what I mean? Like, he worked hard in his career. Pete Haley was our intern at CSN, and he's covered the Olympics. You know, like, guys can improve, get better. I don't know.
That is for people to make themselves feel comfortable and feel better about themselves. They say, oh, it's easy for those guys. No, it's tougher for these guys because everything they do is under a microscope. Okay? They are out here playing a game where they are basically – criticized, not critique, criticized by everybody that can't do what the hell they're doing on a consistent basis. And if they can't play, you're gone. Let's be real. In the real world, you sign a 5-year deal, you're getting 5 years of a contract, right? In the NFL, you sign a 5-year deal, you'll be gone after 2 years and you don't get the rest of that contract. So, yes, they make more money than you, but they put their bodies in harm's way more than you probably do. So just to think it's easy, no, it's not easy. And let's remember, you roll up in here, it's 90 people. You already know 37 of them leaving. You know that in the beginning. So you look around, and if you're smart enough, you look around, you go, oh, damn, I don't seem to be in one of those top 53. And you still got to go to practice every day and produce. You know, you go to work every day, and sometimes you cannot be doing your job, but somebody else is doing something at the end and pulling it over, and you get credit for it.
Phone lines, phone lines, phone lines. You know how we do. After Commanders games, it's just me and B for the first hour. Then we welcome you in. Pools open, 800-636-1067. Taking your calls next. Phones at 11. Shout out to this dude, Raise5 Hale, who claims that Dan Quinn said 98 players when he said 89 players. Bro, I promise you the head coach knows how many people are on the roster. Dan Quinn said something that actually got my typing fingers working Sunday morning at the airport. Dan Quinn was asked about this wide receiver two situation. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, that's something you guys all seem to care about. We don't care about that. I just want guys that are competing, flying around, playing their best. Hard to watch so far and not realize that De'Ami Brown has, outside of Terry McLaurin, De'Ami Brown seems to be having the best camp, the best chemistry with Jaden. All of that could change fast.
Yeah.
They spread the ball around to a lot of people. But, like, people have decided definitively that De'Ami Brown can't be good because he hasn't been good in 3 years. And I'm sure there's statistical support for that. My only counter to it, and not that the lack of production was on the same level, because De'Ami's lack of production for 3 years is really pretty remarkable, but I would also encourage people to look at the overall offensive lack of production, not just De'Ami, but the whole damn thing has been pretty ugly for a few years. Nico Collins balled out last year,
yeah.
Right? 1,300 yards, 8 touchdowns, averaged 16 yards per catch. Are we all aware of what Nico Collins was prior to that? For 2 years in the NFL, there was a pretty good statistical measure of who he was. First 2 years in the NFL, he averaged 35 catches and 450 yards.
Okay.
Then, what do you know, C.J. Stroud shows up, and he has 80 catches for 1,300 yards and 8 touchdowns. Yeah. Like, this can change pretty quick.
It could change. And also, just listen, man, we had the conversation about contract years. We have the conversation about why guys play better. And my assessment has always been, normally a contract year is when the guy's in his fourth or his fifth year, okay? Which means they know now how to play. As London Fletcher stated the other day, we were having a conversation, not even about this. He said, guys now know what the league expects. They know how to, they know their routine, and they know exactly what to do now. A lot of guys don't get comfortable till after their second year in the league. You know, you get a few people that roll in like a Jaden Daniels who seem like they already know. They belong there already. De'Ami now comes in with a staff who seems to be giving him an equal and fair chance to go out there and compete. Other people, no matter what he did in the preseason, he didn't get in the game in the regular season anyway. You know what I mean? So – and you get a quarterback who will give you that chance, who has a confidence in you. Confidence changes everything. And I don't know if it's what he did in all season or the whole operation that happened. Did somebody call him and talk to him? Did somebody sit him down and tell him what he can do and what they expect from him, unlike some other people might have done? You know, so he is now at that point where if he wasn't trying to play better or playing better, then he wasn't going to be able to play better. Just wasn't going to hit him yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that De'Ami, all of a sudden, the light is on and it was off. I know that when they drafted him, they were really excited about his prospects. Yeah. I know that at the top of his route tree, he would round it off and not fight through to make physical plants. Mm-hmm. Maybe all that has changed, or maybe just the quarterback's way better.
The quarterback is better.
Maybe the scheme is way better. But a lot of things can happen. And who knows? To try to extrapolate from what De'Ami has done for a few seasons to what he could become or what we're seeing so far this preseason, statistically, is hard. You're talking about a dude that last season had 12 catches, right? He's got five through two. He's got half of Jaden's catches so far this preseason. Mm-hmm. I understand the extrapolation is hard to do from the numbers. All I'm saying is to think that it's impossible to occur because of the numbers is short-sighted.
Yeah, listen, man. Once you settle down in this league, if you can play, you can play. And it takes belief from – if you're a receiver, it takes your quarterback believing in you. And also your coach believing in you, because coaches begin to draw up stuff for people that they believe in, not those they don't. As my career went on, I picked up more and more and more stuff. I picked it up not because I just asked for it. I started to produce and show them that I could do more. So they give you more opportunities, you know? So I didn't come here with the expectation to be a third down back. I came here to be with expectation to return kicks and punts. But the more you show you can do, the more you can. But every time I did one thing, and then we had our coach, Don Bro, was like giving me all his confidence, all his credit, critique. He'll, when I did something good, he'll tell me, you did that, but you know, I need you to be more consistent with it. By him talking to me on a daily basis made me realize they must see something. So I started to study more, research stuff more, get better at it, work extra after practice to make sure I had the stuff. And then when they see you working on that, you're going to get more opportunities. Maybe Deami is doing that now.
B, people are convinced. There's this flaw in logic that people are convinced life in the NFL is so dramatically different than life, right?
Mm-hmm.
I would point out, and maybe the timelines are more condensed, right? Because you just don't have the same opportunity over the course of your life, because your pro football life is probably, if you're extremely lucky and gifted, 15 years. But for most guys, it's what, 3-4 years?
Yeah, 2-3.
But things can change. Guys can improve. Guys can adapt. Like, Chris Kynard is the cluster buster of the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, he was an intern. You know what I mean? Like, he worked hard in his career. Pete Haley was our intern at CSN, and he's covered the Olympics. You know, like, guys can improve, get better. I don't know.
That is for people to make themselves feel comfortable and feel better about themselves. They say, oh, that's easy for those guys. No, it's tougher for these guys because everything they do is under a microscope. Okay? They are out here playing a game where they are basically criticized, not critiqued, criticized by everybody that can't do what the hell they're doing on a consistent basis. And if they can't play, you're gone. Let's be real. In the real world, you sign a 5-year deal, you're getting 5 years of a contract, right? The NFL, you sign a 5-year deal, you'd be gone after 2 years and you don't get the rest of that contract. So, yes, they make more money than you, but they put their bodies in harm's way more than you probably do. So just to think it's easy, no, it's not easy. And let's remember, you roll up in here, it's 90 people. You already know 37 of them leaving. You know that in the beginning. So you look around. And if you're smart enough, you look around, you go, oh, damn, I don't seem to be in one little top 53. And you still got to go to practice every day and produce. You know, you go to work every day, and sometimes you cannot be doing your job, but somebody else is doing something at the end and pulling it over, and you get credit for it.
Phone lines, phone lines, phone lines. You know how we do. After Commanders games, it's just me and B for the first hour. Then we welcome you in. Pools open, 800-636-1067. Taking your calls next.